It's Thursday, and it's late August, and yes, it is time for the 2023-24 Sports Look season to get underway. And with that, we welcome you. Our Sports Look sponsors this year, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Gus Counts with me. Tom Counts, it is so good to have you back with us. And Gus, we already can talk about the upcoming sports football schedule because the Benedictine Ravens are going to get things underway Saturday at 1 o'clock. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit as the sports that goes on. It's going to be a huge way to start the year for the Ravens.
Yeah, last time we were here on Sports Look, we had nothing to talk about as far as upcoming games. It was a little depressing in that sense. But, you know, at that time, we'll talk about it a little more in segment four. We had maybe a little hope for the Royals. I don't know that that really worked out. But I'm telling you, how fast does the fall football season and sports season get here? I feel like it just blows by every year.
I did the math last night. I obviously don't have enough to do on my plate. 144 days since the last Sport Look.
There you go.
So we've got things to cover, and the fall football, high school sports, I guess, not just football, but sports seasons are going to be getting underway, and they're going to be starting here pretty shortly. Coming up in segment three, we're going to visit with the assistant principal and activities director at Marhill Mount Academy, Whitney McGinnis. And Gus, just to kind of preview it a little bit, and again, stick around because she's going to talk with us all about it and give us all of the details about that and Raven Fall Sports kind of an overview. But when I call her up, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to talk about football, right? Because there's a jamboree going on at Marhill Mount Academy tomorrow night, but that's not all. There's also a volleyball jamboree going on tomorrow night at Marhill Mount Academy. See, we've got stuff.
This is, right, the inaugural year that Keisha allows for volleyball.
We're going to talk about that, yeah.
To have a jamboree. So we'll talk about that, too, here in just a second.
Yeah. So jamborees coming up at Marhill Mount Academy. The football jamboree is going to be between the host Ravens, ACCHS, and the Atchison Phoenix.
Yeah. And this has kind of been a fun little thing, right? Like, Kansas has started. Missouri has allowed jamborees for years, right? St. Joe has always had a really nice one. And then now, all of a sudden, Kansas is allowing it. It's kind of fun because, again, ACCHS and Morehill Mount Academy will play each other during the season. But I don't think they're district opponents, though, anymore. Now, as far as those two teams playing Atchison, they don't, so it's kind of a nice chance to see how you match up against the Phoenix and things like that.
A much larger school.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to get a real taste of that competition. And then, so that's going to be going on at Guy Galley Field, and in the Haverty Gymnasium, it's going to be volleyball. And it's going to be, the three schools involved will be, of course, MHMA, ACCHS, and they're bringing in Riverside for the third team for that jamboree.
So the jamborees are kind of cool in volleyball, like as in the sense of they're allowing them now. But don't you feel like most every weekend during volleyball season is a jamboree, right? Because it's like you're going to a tournament somewhere and you're playing 5-7 different schools almost every weekend, you know. So anyway, but it's kind of cool to see. And so, yeah, I mean, it's fun to be able to get back, be able to check out all these things, and be able to go one spot and see lots of different games going on.
Yeah, and what a lot of people don't realize also is that, and particularly with Keisha, because they keep a pretty tight thumb on things, there are a lot of rules, a lot of regulations. Football players only get to be in for so many offensive and so many defensive plays. Volleyball players only get so much time on the floor. And there are cool rules like you can't score over 5 goals in a row in the volleyball game and this and that. But you know what's got to happen? Then there are reports that got to get sent in. It's got to be sent in. Someone has to be sitting there tracking and logging every player. I mean, there is a lot of work. It's not just run out there and throw the ball around.
You can't just go out there and, you know,
That easy. So
there's a lot of games going on. Nemaha Central, Centralia, and Hiawatha are going to be at the Nemaha Central location. Horton and McLeod will be not at Baker College. I'm sure they'd be upset being called BC, but at Baker University, that game being moved to Saturday morning at 9 a.m. So Pair of the Compton is going to have their own Royal Valley and Holton. They're going to Santa Fe Trail for one. Valley Heights and Oskaloosa will be at Valley Heights. Troy and Riverside are going to be up at Highland for theirs. So, yeah, lots of them. And the other thing, and you got some more?
No.
We talk about things that happened over the summer. Did you ever see the Big Seven disbanding?
Never dreamed it.
Right? And I think that's one of those things that as the year progresses, we'll probably talk about a little more, because it's one of those things that, right, this will be the final year of the Big Seven, because next year we go into, what are they, like the Mideast or something?
I think
something, right?
Yeah, I've so given it a name. I'm not good.
It will be a little interesting to see.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're going up to Nebraska, because high school football begins in Nebraska this weekend, well, you better call up and you better check and get on somebody's website, because many of the games, and certainly the games on our sister stations in Nebraska, have been called off for Friday night because of the weather and moved to Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of go through and check that stuff out. And by the way, when you're checking out stuff as we're going through Sportsbook today, you might run over by the Whiskey Depot, because Neil's over there with the golf cart giveaway remote happening over there. So we'll be hearing from him during the course of Sportsbook here this evening also. So anyway, Jamborees this week, high school football season about ready to get underway. It's an exciting time. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. It is Benedictine football, and it is Saturday, and it's on CARE. We'll be talking about that more right after this. Back with you on the premier edition of Sports Look here on CARE Radio for the season. Gus Counts with me, Tom Counts. And Gus, been waiting for this since we traveled over to Indiana last fall. The Benedictine Ravens football season about to get underway, and BC will be in Wilcox Stadium Saturday afternoon. It's a 1:00 kickoff, and the Ravens playing a team that they will have only played now for the second time in school history. It's going to be Morningside coming to town.
Yeah, so last year at the end of the season, I don't think we knew that this game was kind of coming up, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, the bombshell dropped, and we said, oh, well, that could be fun, right? A lot of the fan bases will know about it. The teams, of course, have changed. The BC coaching staff has changed over a little bit, except Coach Pops, you know. A lot of people look back at 18, right?
Yes.
And you think about, wow, that game, great matchup. You talk about two teams that come in, and the NAIA has got to be a little happy about this, because you're going to see, what, number 4 versus number 6 to start the season. So, yeah, strap them on. Here we go.
The eyes of the NAIA Nation are going to be focused on Wilcox Stadium Saturday afternoon. I mean, there is no bigger matchup in the nation than this one Saturday.
And with the changes in the conference, let's just stop there. In the conference, right? Evangel is gone. You're bringing in Mo Baptist for football. It opened up a week one where these teams can step outside and play some other schools. And I think it's kind of fun to actually look up and down the games that are going to happen on Saturday, because a lot of these matchups we're not used to, and they're probably just good matchups for both schools altogether. Like, for Benedictine and Morningside, Benedictine's losing Grandview off the schedule this year, right? You're not going to play Grandview, so why not pick up another top 5 team and see how you can start your season with Morningside? So, again, I think a lot of excitement. You're bringing back a lot of players off of last year's team, both on the offensive and defensive side. Now, I know you're going to lose your quarterback and your running back, but again, you're going to bring in some pretty capable players, as we're going to talk about on Saturday. You're going to get to talk to Coach Osborne about, you know, some of those new players in the spotlight. But again, some very familiar faces.
Yeah, and you say you've got the conference schedule lined up there. Jump in. Let's hear where some of our other Heart of America Athletic Conference teams, what they're going to be doing this weekend.
I can't figure that this is a very long trip, but Doan is going to Graceland.
Okay.
That can't be
a couple hours.
That awful.
Yeah.
Midland is going to be at Clark. That won't be fun. Culver Stockton is going to go to Yankton, South Dakota, and be hosted by Mount Marty.
There you go. That should be really
competitive.
Good matchup.
Yeah. Hastings will go to Peru. So you got two Nebraska schools matching up. And this is one that I'm not familiar that they play each other that often, is Mid-America is going to Oklahoma to take on Langston.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not one that we're used to them.
No, and that's going to be a pretty good test for Mid-America, who people around the conference seem to think is going to be an improved team and a team that's going to be in the hunt as the season wears on. So we'll see how the Pioneers fare.
Now, for me, I guess there are a handful of schools that have no game on that.
See, and that was going to be the next place that I went, because when this conference changed the schedule and provided for an open date at the onset of the season on the 26th of August, the option presents itself. You want to play an 11th game? Find somebody and schedule it up. If you don't, I mean, the option is there to play only conference games and play only 10.
Yeah,
and some schools did that.
So like half of them decided not to play a game.
Do you understand it?
Yeah, I mean, some of them, right? Like Baker, no shock. They would play 4 games if they could get away with it.
They used
to play
8 all the time.
They are the kings of playing as few games as possible.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to lose games, right? I mean, and that's just how they are. But also, you don't buffer yourself, right? Like, there's a difference between, you know, being 9-1 or if you go 7-1, right? You're like, those extra games make a difference. Grandview, a little surprised they didn't try to take on somebody. Also, maybe nobody was there to answer that call, right? I mean, BC and Morningside work out. Because I'm going to tell you, there are probably not a lot of people that are answering the phone for either of those schools, right? Yeah. Like a lot of teams don't want to take on BC in week one. A lot of teams don't want to take on Morningside in week one. Because we talk about in football, you don't have that buffer to lose a game, right? Like, you could in the first game, you have all season to make up for. But there are some of those teams, like, I'm going to tell you, Avila isn't playing either one of these teams, right? Like, there aren't any of those KCAC teams that would venture into playing a tough game like this. So, Baker didn't, Central doesn't, Valley, not a huge shock there, Grandview, so Missouri Baptist and William Penn are the ones that aren't playing in week one.
So that's full half of this conference decided to play a 10-game schedule, and yeah, I guess there are, of course, as always, multiple ways of looking at any question in any situation, but for the Ravens, playing 11 games, and what a great opponent, and you talk about great opponents, let's look at how the preseason poll has come out for the national rankings in the NAIA. There will not be another poll that comes out until the 11th of September. Okay, so not after week one, but it'll be after, for the Ravens, week two. And number one team in the country, of course, is going to be no surprise. The defending national champions of Northwestern, the Red Raiders, are number one. Kaiser, Florida, takes a big jump. Again, they go all the way, you know, to the end last year, and Kaiser is number two. So the Seahawks, well represented. And then it continues to have a very Midwest and, in fact, a very Iowa flavor, because number three in the nation, Grandview, the Vikings in the heart. Number four, Morningside. We've talked about them, the team that we're going to be seeing Saturday. Number six, Marion, Indiana. Number seven, Benedictine. And then you've got Bethel, Tennessee, Lindsey Wilson, Reinhart. And by the way, the Ravens' opponent last year when we went over to Indiana was Indiana Wesleyan, and they're number five. So you see a lot of teams, names that you're familiar with, teams that, as Benedictine gets more postseason experience and more postseason games, because they played a lot of these teams now.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. You're familiar with a lot of these schools that are in front of you. I'm going to tell you, the other day, the poll came out, and we always laugh about the preseason poll. It means nothing, right? It's just basically the paper it's printed on. These teams in front of you play some difficult games. Like, in week two, on September 9th, number one, Northwestern Iowa, they're going to go to Des Moines and take on Drake. Right? That's not an easy game for them. Kaiser, I'm telling you, Kaiser says if anybody wants to call, we're going to pick up the phone. I think they would take on the Hurricanes tomorrow if Miami called. Because Kaiser are going to start the season with Division II Mississippi College. In week two, they're going to go to the number 9 team in the country, Lindsey Wilson, who's always a powerhouse. Week three on September 16th, they said, let's go to Georgia and take on Valdosta State. So, you know, I mean, there are some teams at the top of this conference, or at the top of the NAIA poll, that are playing some big games very early. But again, it's smart in the sense of play them early. You can make up for a loss if one were to happen now. And you also kind of gauge your team and find out how good you're going to be as the season progresses.
With that in mind, you know, some people are always interested in the KCAC, and the schools in it, they are most highly ranked in the preseason poll for the KCAC is Southwestern. The Mountain Builders are not in the top 10, but really close at number 11. Also, out of that conference, you will have KW at number 20 and Bethel at 23.
18 is Avalon.
Oh, yeah. And Avalon, I forget.
You forget it. I get it.
Don't
I'm right
think
there
of Avalon. And Evangel, let's throw them in there. They got some receiving votes, so they'd be down around number 30 or something. So
yeah. Avalon, one of those teams who finished the season at 13 in the first poll, though. They dropped all the way to 18. They graduated a handful of players. They also lost their coach last season at the end of the year. Hey, he got him to a playoff. He ran for yellower pastures, maybe,
yeah,
because he's up at William Penn, right? And so you're playing second fiddle right there to Grandview in the north.
Okay, now, real quickly, also, there are going to be, and you're going to be hearing them incorporated, but I don't think they're going to be a big deal. So a few rule changes in the NAIA coming up this fall.
Yeah, so one of the big ones, I think, for me, it's going to be the running clock, right?
There you go. I think that's the only real impact one.
Yeah, exactly. So the running clock, so after a first down, the clock used to always stop, reset sticks, start it again. Now it's not going to happen like that. The clock will continue to run until you get to the 2 minutes of a half. So the last 2 minutes of the first half, last 2 minutes of the game, it will stop for first downs, which I don't know. I think it probably does make a little bit of a difference. I'm interested to see if it really shaves off much time on the game. I think it just makes a difference on how you handle the last 6 minutes of a game when you're racing down the field. That was huge to be able to stop the clock for a moment, regroup, and that gets you up to the line of scrimmage, and maybe you're able to snap the ball and spike it with only a second coming off the clock. Instead, you're flying down the field, you lose 8-10 seconds of time trying to get set.
At least. I mean, let's be realistic. Let's say you have a nice play and you pick up 10 or 12 yards. You got some 350-pound guys that have got to run down there, get themselves in position, get lined up. It takes a little bit of time, and in those waning moments of a football game, those seconds are crucial, and they get away in a hurry.
Some of the other rules that I don't really think are going to make a huge difference, they're going to outlaw consecutive timeouts. We rarely see that. Usually at the end of a game when you're trying to ice a kicker, and even at that, you don't see many coaches that say, let's burn 2 timeouts in a row, right? So they're going to outlaw that. And one that I'm in favor of, I don't think it'll make much of a difference, we see it maybe 3 times a year, is the not extending quarters, right? So, like, if there's a penalty on the last play of the first quarter, we're not running a dead ball play. Move that play to the start of the second quarter. The only time we will now have dead ball plays are at the end of the half and the end of the game, right? So we're not extending the quarter on a penalty, because that always drove me nuts. Why are we playing one more possession in the first quarter or the third quarter when we have a whole quarter left to play, right? Roll that over to the next quarter and let's keep playing.
Essentially, they're removing an untimed down.
Yeah. So other than that, those are the big three, and really when it comes down to it, the biggest one is just going to be the adjustment of no stoppage after a first down.
And again, the point is, like they have done with baseball and accelerating it, trying to move those games on maybe just a little more briskly.
Yeah, I mean, but have you ever gone to a college football game and thought it took too long?
Never.
Never. It's not a thing.
No, sometimes not long enough. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're going to visit with Whitney McGinnis, the assistant principal and activities director at Mar Hill Mount Academy. We're talking about the Raven Multiple Jamborees coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned. More Sports Look after this. We're visiting with Whitney McGinnis. She's the assistant principal and activities director at Mar Hill Mount Academy. Miss McGinnis, the school year, how did it get here so fast? My goodness.
I have no idea. I swear last week was just like May and school was ending, and all of a sudden we are back at it full force. So it has been a crazy, crazy busy summer and crazy busy last few weeks as teams are preparing to kind of get back into action. So we just jumped right back into it.
And you're going to jump right back into it this weekend already, the very first week of school. Not necessarily with regular season games yet, but you were telling me you've got a couple of jamborees, which I think are just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, we so we have both a volleyball and a football jamboree happening this Friday. Both of them are taking place at Mar Hillman Academy. Volleyball jamboree is starting at 5 o'clock in the Haverty Gymnasium, and that's Mar Hillman Academy and ACCHS and Riverside all taking part in that. And so it's just a good chance for to kind of get, you know, some of the cobwebs out and get some of those, you know, first game jitter type things out of the way, get some actual, you know, experience. We've got real officials coming in to, you know, to do the, run the games and stuff for us, and just to kind of get, especially for those kids who've never participated, into more of a game-like atmosphere. And so this is the first year that Keisha has actually allowed jamborees for things other than football, and so we wanted to give our volleyball girls the same opportunity that the football teams have to kind of get some of that preseason scrimmage practice in. And so we're excited to kick that off this year. And then later on, it's actually been moved to 8 p.m. We're doing our football jamboree, and that is with Mar Hillman Academy, ACCHS, and Atchison High School. And so both of those things are being hosted here at Mar Hillman Academy. Originally, we're planning for a 7 o'clock start, but we've pushed it back to 8 o'clock in hopes that Mother Nature will cooperate with us a little bit and, you know, cool things off enough that we can get, you know, our guys out on the field. And same thing as volleyball, get them into some more similar game-like atmosphere situations and less, you know, waiting until that first game to get to that point. So we're excited to have all of those happening on Friday and really kind of kicking things off. The volleyball for admissions, we are asking for like a healthy snack for the volleyball team so that we can, whatever is donated for Mar Hillman Academy and whatever is donated for Riverside and ACCHS will go with those teams so that they can take them with them to have after the jamboree and stuff. And then for the football jamboree, the price of admissions is a canned or non-perishable food item. And since it's three Atchison County schools, that food will be donated to places within the Atchison County community. So,
sounds fantastic. Now, these are jamborees, so, I mean, briefly, the format is each school will, in a rotation that's probably already like been formulated, get to put in some time against each of the other schools, right?
Yes. So Keisha actually has, they actually have a pretty standard jamboree format. And so, you know, athletes are only allowed to be in a certain number of plays for the entire evening. And so it kind of works so that, you know, our offense will get to play against both Atchison High's offense and against ACCHS. You know, our defense will go against both of the other schools. So it's kind of a rotating format that nobody has to be on the field the whole time, and everyone gets some snaps and some repetitions to kind of work on some things that, you know, maybe coaches were seeing that, you know, you see in practice, but you can't really, you know, work on it or really check it until you get into more of a game atmosphere. So they'll kind of follow that format that was set out by Keisha. Same thing with volleyball. So it looks a little bit different on the jamboree side that, you know, you can only play to 21 and you can't score more than 5 points in a row. And so just to kind of keep things moving and everyone get some experience and stuff, they've got some guidelines set up for how we have to go about making these events happen.
Whitney McGinnis with us, AD and assistant principal at Mar Hillman Academy. I don't think people fully realize and maybe appreciate, not only do you have the work of organizing, you invite in the other schools, and it's wonderful to see everybody work together, you know, toward the common good of getting the kids some playing time, but also now there's all this paperwork, Ms. McGinnis. I mean, I'm assuming that now you have to keep track. Somebody's sitting there with a clipboard and a pencil, right?
I have a lot of spreadsheets. I love a good Excel spreadsheet. So I've got a lot of spreadsheets of games and transportation and leave times and schedules. And, you know, the coaches are all keeping attendance and a lot of paperwork that has to be sent into Keisha to make, to make all of this happen to for our kids to get to participate in this kind of stuff. So it's a lot, and it's one of those things that there's a lot of upfront work, but it's in the end, it's all worth it because they get to do and be part of some stuff that they really enjoy. So makes it worth it in the end, and you know, it's also kind of nice, and there's some wins that come out at the end of it as well. So don't mind that at all.
Well, real briefly, we're gonna, if you don't mind, we'll touch on the fall sports at Morehead Academy.
Sure.
Football. Coach Fredrickson is back for another season. What a great guy he is.
He's fantastic. To quote him, he is juiced for this season. That's what he keeps telling me, and I was like, that's fantastic. We lost a good number of seniors last year, so he's got some younger guys who are stepping up, and he's loving what he has seen so far. And with the heat that we've all been blessed with this week, they've been practicing at 5:30 in the morning, and the guys are there, and they're going hard and going full force, and he's been just thrilled with what he has seen from them so far. So we're expecting some good things from them this year, and Zach is excited to be back, and we kick off next Friday, September 1st. We host here at Marhamon Academy, and we will take on Oskaloosa, so an NEKL matchup to get us going, and then, you know, we'll start playing the rest of the season, and every Friday from there on out, we'll be doing something football-related. So, but we're excited to see just kind of the growth and things that that the kids have had over the last year, especially with Zach being able to be in that position again, just him getting a chance to work with them a little bit more. And, you know, last year he took over kind of last minute, and so he didn't get to do as much summer prep as he would have liked. But this past summer, they were in the weight room, they were, you know, football camp, and they were doing all kinds of stuff to prepare for this year.
And then, of course, on the volleyball side, you do have a great experienced coach with Mrs. Knoll running the program.
Yes. Sarah Knoll is back for, I think it's her fourth year as our coach, and she's got a ton of experience in volleyball, both as, you know, player when she was at JCN, and then she was at Benedictine College. She coached when she was at Hayden, and she's been our head coach now for 4 years. And her knowledge of volleyball, but also her ability to teach, you know, kids who've never played volleyball, is so great to see. And she is super competitive. You know, we kind of joke of who's the more competitive coach, Sarah or Luke, with, you know, when it comes to basketball. And she's super competitive, and she wants to do really well, and she wants the girls to do well, and she's got them fired up. I've popped over to practices a couple times over the last week, and they are constantly doing something. They are moving and hitting and trying to do better than last year already. So it's great to kind of see the progress that they have put in with camps and stuff over the summer, and we're excited to see how that works out for them. They actually start regular season play on Saturday, this Saturday the 26th, when they go to the McClough tournament. And then we host next Tuesday on August 29th, we'll host an NEK try with JCN and Valley Falls to kick off the rest of our regular season play.
And then, and Ms. McGinnis, you'd never know it by looking today, but in high school, I was a cross-country guy, and your cross-country team, you know, is going to be participating here very soon, and I don't think anybody understands how hard they work.
No. Adrian Rapplinger is back as our cross-country coach. She, I think this is her seventh year. We were all trying to count up one day, and we couldn't remember. She took a year off at one point, but she's back, and she has a bigger team this year than what she had last year, so she's really excited for that. They, too, have been doing some, I think every day they've been doing a 6 a.m. practice, so they're also out and hitting it. So she's really excited. She's got some young runners, but she's got some kids who really can push it and are really talented, and so she's excited to see what they do. And they'll kick off their season next Thursday at the Baser Linwood Invitational, which takes place down at the Cricket Wireless Park in Kansas City. So they've got a lot of things coming up as well, and they're the one sport that I can't keep up with. And she sends me pictures and videos and stuff of practice, and it's great to see, but I can't keep up with them. So they are always out.
Let's quickly, and then I'll let you go, recap again. The two jamborees coming up on the Raven campus Friday.
Yes, Friday.
And
5 p.m. for volleyball in the Haverty Gymnasium, and then 8 p.m. for football at the Marhamon Academy football field. So we are excited to get back into it.
Ms. McGinnis, appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and all the Raven teams this season. Thanks so much, and let's have a wonderful year.
Yep, thanks, Tom. Have a great day.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Look here on CARE Radio. Don't forget, Neil has got the golf cart probably riding around the parking lot at Whiskey Depot over at the Chamber Depot over there on 10th Street.
Neil does such a good job of guarding that thing. I really thought one time I could probably get that thing out of there. Nope.
Not
I'm
happening.
Telling you, he's got that thing locked down, and you're not getting away with it. So he probably does ride it around a little bit, but yeah.
Well, just to demonstrate.
Yeah, exactly. Show you how nice it is and smooth. So.
We're going to let the Chiefs demonstrate their skills one last preseason time. Saturday, it's a noon game. Kansas City will be in Arrowhead because they've been away for their first two preseason games, and they're going to be hosting the, can I continue to call them the hapless Browns?
Yeah.
Are they still terrible?
Yeah, I mean, they're not good.
Even though their old quarterback is now in Tampa starting.
Yeah, but they're not good by any means. Chiefs-Browns Saturday. Don't expect to probably see any of your starters,
can't
right?
Imagine.
Like, I mean, you're to the point where, especially with that first game being on a Thursday, it's going to be a quick turnaround. I think right now you're just trying to evaluate the bottom half of your roster.
Because, see, now you got the big job comes up, like, what is it, Sunday night for Monday morning? Because you got to go to 53.
Yeah, and the problem is, it's not like last year or years prior where you're making small cuts, small cuts, small cuts. You're now going to go from 90 to 53 in like 36 hours or 48 hours, you know? I mean, like,
and
that's
all the time,
big.
Not only you're cutting guys, but you're. It's not just going through the roster with an ink pen out, in, out, you know, like that. You are calling up the GM from the Giants and saying, hey, I got a really pretty good lineman here that I just don't have room for. What do you give me for him?
Right, exactly.
Or put him on a practice squad and you can't get to him.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the other part of it is, okay, now what guy am I going to stash? That's why I laugh when the cuts come out because people like get all up in arms. Don't pay attention to the cuts. Wait till the day after the cuts and see what happens. Like, one of the big cuts I think a lot of people are going to be scratching their heads about, I fully expect the Chiefs to cut
CEH.
No, I think they'll keep CEH, but I think they'll cut Blake Bell.
Ooh.
And people will be like, well, wait, what are you doing? But see, Blake Bell has been in the league long enough that he doesn't have to pass through waivers. So you can cut him on cut day and re-sign him the first day of...
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So you can, like, sign him in 24 hours, and he doesn't count against your money. And it's one of those things that if you have a veteran that, you know, trusts the team, because that's the other part. You got to trust the team that they're going to follow through with the other half.
I think you could trust Brett Veach and Andy Reid as much as absolutely anybody, probably more than anybody.
But I think that's, you know, there are going to be some of those cuts that you're sitting there going, hmm. But I think some of them to watch right now are backup quarterback. Do you have a favorite in that? Are you a Blaine Gabbert guy? Do you like Shane Bichelle? Or do you just care?
I'm so clear cut on this.
Bichelle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, you know, and it's not just because Gabbert, where he came from.
Right.
But, I mean, I watched him in his little bit of in the preseason games. I know what their history is enough to know. If I get down to the end, okay, and I need a guy to step in for a series, I want a guy who I got all that faith in has been there.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, Bichelle's one of those guys that you talk about Andy Reid doesn't like younger guys. Bichelle's been a backup now with the Kansas City organization for 4 years.
Yes.
Right? Like, so
he knows the playbook.
Offense, and it's not that whole learning curve. I mean, he's in there with 15 every day, you know, during film study, so he kind of understands how he prepares, how he sees the game. I don't know. I really will be surprised if they keep Blaine Gabbert. I really – I think that they'll go with Shane Bichelle. You also free up a little money if you do that.
Now, the big question, the one question right now that's on the minds of every Kansas City Chiefs fan is, are they going to get Chris inked?
I don't know. I mean, did you ask me at the start of camp? Yeah. I mean, I was like, I'm sure, why not? As this thing pushes closer, I don't know.
I mean, I understand where Chris Jones is at. He feels like he's got to, and again, the term that was used, got to take care of my family, mm-hmm. okay? And he is now at the pinnacle of his earning potential, going to be 30, so he's got enough experience, you know, that he knows what he's doing. He's established himself as a quality player. However, the long term for him is not great. I mean, you can't sign this guy for 5 because right. he's not going to be around in the league in 5.
Right, and I think that's the thing is he's looking at, people say, oh, well, don't you want to stay here and win rings? He's got 2.
Uh-huh.
That's 2 more than most guys leave the league with, right? I mean, like, it's fantastic to win. But for him, he's now at the portion of, let's make as much money. It's a cash grab at this point.
Like Frank Clark.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, Frank Clark when he left and went to Denver. You know? I think for Chris Jones, people are like, well, but you want to win. He does, but he's already done that. He's won a lot of games, and he has 2 Super Bowl rings. And
I respect that he wants to earn what he can while he can, because, again, this is a short-lived kind of a career, okay? He's got to have a backup. He's going to have to be a CPA, or he's going to have an office, or do something somewhere. I mean, his career, he's going to be a young man and a long way to go yet. So there's that. However, you know, number one, is now the fines are over $1 million, but they'll write that offer. They'll make a concession, you know, probably.
They'll figure out probably a way of putting that back in there.
But number two, my biggest issue is you are still under contract.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I mean,
for a lot of money.
My word, you expect me to have my word being good, and I'm going to pay you, and I'm going to do whatever I say I'm going to do. But wait a minute, you signed this thing, and you said you're going to play for me this year. Where are you?
Right.
Exactly. And that's the other side of it.
And I think that's where a lot of the fans get upset about. It would be different if it were like the Bosa holdout where he was tagged, and so really he's not under contract.
That
right?
is
like,
totally
until
different.
Until he signs the contract, he has no contract.
Right.
Chris Jones, a few years ago, signed, what was it, like a 3-year, $80 million contract or something, I feel like, 4-year, $80 million contract. So he's got a deal.
He's
right? got
to understand also that if the Chiefs decide to this goes south, okay, and they don't want to be, they want to be like tough, they want to be hardline, okay, you just go home and sit in your den and, you know, have Cheetos and watch football all year, and I'm going to continue to find you, and you're going to end up with no money. And here's again, we talked about just a moment ago, you're another year older.
Yeah. And so the other day, somebody tweeted at him or X'd at him. I don't know. Is it tweet?
However you
want to look at it. And anyway, he went back to social media, and they said, you know, like, when are you going to come back? And he said, like, week 8. But the problem with him coming back week 8, see, so week 8 is your line of demarcation as to accruing a season. But if the Chiefs wanted to, and there are teams out there that would do this, you just fail him on the physical for week 8, right? Like, he has to come in and he has to pass testing and things like that. If you fail him on the physical for week 8 and he's not active, oh, man, so week 9, you can't get a whole season? Yeah. You're just dead in the water again.
I don't think you have flexibility in that ring finger.
Right,
enough.
You know?
So,
like,
I can't give you the green light here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that it's one of those things that he's playing hardball. The Chiefs are kind of like, hey, we've won without some of these players. We need to, like Andy Reid said, if he's there, great. If he's not, the game still happens on September the 7th.
And if I'm another team and I'm thinking that, okay, I'm just going to sign with somebody else next year and sit out an entire year, I think that you also got to be thinking, okay, you know, not only did this guy not fulfill his contract, I mean, beside that, and not only is he another year older, but he's a year out of the game. Okay, your conditioning is different. You know, everything is different when you are out of the loop.
Ask Le'Veon Bell how that worked, right? Like, Le'Veon Bell's the last guy to have really done it. Sat out of the season, said, hey, I'm fine. He was on top of the NFL, sat out 1 year, and was just never a good player after that, right? Bounced around, couldn't hold on with the Chiefs, and just was whatever. So I think for the Chiefs and Chris Jones, they need to both get this thing figured out soon as to what you're going to do.
Yep.
And even if it's go separate ways, figure that out now and get going.
Okay, speaking about getting things figured out, how about those Kansas City Royals, huh? I think that they can lose that 100. I really believe it.
Yeah.
I have faith in them because they go to Oakland, lose 2 out of 3, although they did win, you know, a 4-0 win last night or yesterday afternoon, you know, in the Alameda County Coliseum. But now they stay out on the West Coast and they're at the Mariners this weekend. And can't say, you know what? The thing is, I don't understand, and this is probably one of my many character flaws. I still love watching them. I enjoy watching them.
As long as somebody does, okay?
I do. I watch them practically every night.
33 games left.
Okay.
So out of 33 games left.
When are you going to win? 12?
I was going to say 10.
Yeah, give them 12.
Okay, so even if you gave them 12, that's 21 more losses, right? So that puts you somewhere at 109. You're going to lose 109, 110.
Yeah.
And the scary thing is with baseball now, you're going to probably be the second worst team, right? Like, I just don't think...
Still can't beat Oakland.
I still don't think you can beat
Oakland.
Even
though you lost 2 out of 3 to them.
But that doesn't guarantee you the number 2 pick anymore, right? It's now a lottery system, and you better hope that the ping pong ball flies your way, okay? I don't care if it's the Hakeem Olajuwon put in the frozen, you know, lottery ball or whatever you need to do to win that thing. But, yeah, for the Royals, they could be the second worst team in baseball and still pick like 8 or 10, right? That's terrifying.
And of course, the Royals are not the only team that is struggling. How about the New York Yankees? They did win last night to avoid the 10-game losing streak, which had not occurred in 110 years since 1913.
Yeah, and what? 9 was the longest since 1982? Yeah. And to
win
that game?
Yankee fan is not happy.
To win that game? Aaron Judge had to hit 3 home runs. Not one, not two, but 3 home runs to win that game. So, yeah, I mean, it's a struggle for the Yankees and to decide what they're going to do. Baseball's been a little fun this summer.
Orioles. I'm into the Orioles.
Right. There are a lot of teams out there that you look at and you're like, okay,
Houston's
fun. Some of these. Yeah, I just can't get over Houston ever since the whole, you know, cheating scandal years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a Dusty Baker guy.
I understand.
So Houston could just tank for the rest of the season. I'd be cool
going
with that.
Well,
like Tampa's playing well. Baltimore's playing well. The Rangers are in first place in the West.
They're really playing well.
I like Milwaukee on top of the Central in the National League.
I've got to pull the Dodgers, too, by the way.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Dodgers have an 11.5 game lead on San Fran right now. But the Cubs are relevant again. They're 3.5 games back in their division. The Reds are 3.5 games back in their division. I mean, like we're coming up on some wild card baseball now that's going to be super fun. If you're looking at the National League, Phillies, Cubs, and Reds are all in the playoffs, right? And for the American League, it's Tampa, Houston, and Seattle.
Well, again, baseball rolling along here with one more month to go, but football getting ready to go. And, of course, we talk about games going on around here. We're going to finish with that. But there are some, you know, some other schools playing, like this team in South Bend, Indiana, is going to get things started this week.
Yeah, they don't play good football in South Bend. Well, we're not going to get back.
They make a lot of money. That's all I can tell you.
Navy at Notre Dame Saturday, 1:30. Notre Dame coming in the number 13 team in the country.
Is Notre Dame going to get into a conference since all the conference realignment's going on? Briefly. What? Yes, no.
No.
Heck no.
Why? I think at the end of the day, why? And San Jose State will be at number 6 USC. I think that's maybe a little more interesting game because USC bringing back Caleb Williams. Everybody thinks he probably wins the Heisman this year. But
again, neither of these games are going to be within 40, okay, just so you know.
If anybody can lose an early season game, it's Notre Dame, right? Like,
at least maybe make a play close.
Yeah, but no, I do think they're going to both be really ugly games.
Yep. Well, again, quick looking at what's coming up again. It is football and volleyball jamborees out of Mar Hill Mount Academy tomorrow night. Go down there, 6 o'clock or so. Guys playing out of the football field, Guy Galley. The girls playing volleyball in the Haverty Gym. You can enjoy preseason stuff. And for us, the season can't get started in a more exciting way than the got to be National Game of the Week as the Benedictine Ravens begin 2023 at home with Morningside University, the rematch of the 2018 National Championship game in Daytona Beach, Florida. You'll hear that game, of course, like you hear every game here on Care Radio Live, pregame at about a quarter till. Halftime, we're going to visit with Luke Laskowski, Benedictine's starting quarterback. Great guy. You're going to be really interested in hearing about from him. Talk to Coach Osborne. We got lots to do. Raven football, 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock kickoff, Wilcox Stadium. Come up to the game. And, of course, tune us in here on 93.7. Got to thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, Taco John's, our Sport Look sponsors. And until we see you at the stadium, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.